Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills is a healing evangelist, a best-selling author, and a mega church pastor. He's the founder of the United Denominations, originating from the Lighthouse Group of Churches, overseeing over 3,000 churches across every continent of the world. He pastors the First Love Church, a vibrant church in the city of Accra, transforming the lives of thousands of young people for the Lord. Now listen to Dag Heward Mills.
Oh, put your hands together for Jesus. Keep clapping, keep clapping, keep clapping. Five people clapping are receiving testimonies this week. If you believe it, shout a big amen. The Bible says where the word of the king is, there is power. When God speaks, power will be made available to help you in whatever situation you find yourself in. Our testimony today is from our brother Chris. He's a student at the Bible school. And it's about how God miraculously saved his brother from the hands of wicked people. God is saving you from every person that hates you. If you believe it, shout a big amen. Amen. So let's receive that powerful testimony.
Hello, everyone. My name is Chris from Burundi in Anakazo Bible School. And my testimony is about how God rescued and delivered my senior brother from evil. On 31st of July, in the night, three policemen in my area back home in Burundi were attacked with some area boys. And one of the policemen died. The other two were seriously injured. My brother didn't know what had happened in the night. The next day, the morning, he woke up the next day to go to work and was standing at a bus station waiting for a bus to go to town. Unknown to him, where he was standing was the same place where the policeman was killed. There was a car full of policemen combing the area looking for the suspect. They caught him along with some other people who were standing at the bus stop. My family was looking for him about 3 days. They came to find him in the prison on the fourth day. My junior brother called me and told me that I should pray for our brother because police were accusing him of killing the policeman who died. It was very serious because the police could do anything to him. This made me really scared. I told my pastor, Reverend Chebafo, that he should keep on praying for my brother. He told me, Chris, don't worry. Believe in the word prophet said that the mercy of God will find him because he did not do it. I believed it, and I continued praying for him. My brother was in the prison about 2 weeks. To my surprise, on Monday, 17th of August, my junior brother called me and told me that our brother has been released from prison and he has been cleared from all charges. They did not ask him anything. To God be the glory. I want to thank God for delivering my brother, and I want to thank my pastor, Reverend Chebafo, the bishops and the pastors who were encouraging me. I want to thank the prophet for his word. It sounded like a simple word, but it carried power. Indeed, the mercy of God has found my brother. Amen.
Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity that we have today to serve you. We're excited to be in your house and to be in your presence. Let us, Lord, as we come at this time, experience your greatness and your blessing in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated if you have a seat at home. Zechariah chapter 1. Today's offering, the theme for the offering is through prosperity, I am spreading the work of God. Amen. Through prosperity. Zechariah chapter 1 verse 17. Thus saith the Lord, my cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad. And the Lord shall yet comfort Zion and shall yet choose Jerusalem. Through prosperity, I am spreading the work of God everywhere. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Now, through prosperity, the work of God spreads. People go out as missionaries, as pastors, churches are built. Many things are only possible through prosperity. Amen.
Amen.
Now, in particular, it says, my cities shall be built through prosperity. So a whole city is built through prosperity. If we put all the church buildings we have together, it will form a city. Amen. And the more we build, the more it becomes more cities. So it says here, thus says the Lord, my cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad. So it's very important that you believe in God's prosperity for your life.
Amen.
So through prosperity, the work of the Lord is going to prosper and spread.
Hallelujah.
Will be everywhere.
Amen.
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 Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
Now, how are you going to prosper? Right? I want to give you just one key of prosperity this afternoon or morning, whatever time it is, where you are. One master key. Isaiah 54. Behold, I have created the smith. Verse 16. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. I want you to underline, I have created the waster to destroy. When your life is going to be destroyed financially or in any other way, one of the things that comes to destroy your life is the waster. Waste is a destroyer. So notice that I have created the waster to destroy. So if you look closely at your life, you will see that where you have wasted things is where destruction has come into your life. If you look at your opportunities, the opportunities that God has given to you, you waste the chances that you have, you realize that you've destroyed your life and you've destroyed your ministry. So I have created the waster to destroy. So people who don't understand this principle are casual with wasters. Wasting money makes you poor. That is why when God wants to make you rich, he says, I will rebuke the devourer, the canker worm, the palmer worm, the exits of money. Now, you don't have to look far. Depending on the country you are in. And you will see waste of everything. Waste of everything that destroys. First of all, waste of people. There are countries that if somebody is intelligent or somebody is successful, he is not used. He is not used for the nation. If you read the history of America, some of the great achievements that they chalked, you find out that there was always, you know, I've studied or read about some of the great things which are still there as heritage sites, like the Erie Canal, which is a very long canal from New York to the middle of America, and even the Tower of Liberty, and then the railways. There was always a man who was used. He was the main man. He was the project man. And they paid him, and they would pay him so much if he could. And he would drive the people and make the project work. And they valued people. And the history of those great projects is never told without mentioning, describing the person. And when they even show a film about it, you see the person himself, what he did and how the decisions he took and how he fought, brought Chinese workers from here, brought this here, bomb, explosions, the people who died, many things. But the man who can make it happen is always a key person. But you see, there are some places they waste people.
Yeah.
Yes. So I have created the waster to destroy. Yes, because there are people that can do things in your life. And when you waste people, you are destroying yourself. If you have a good pastor and you waste the person, all right, you are likely to be destroyed. You waste opportunities, you are likely to be destroyed. Do you see? So I have created the waster to destroy. Amen. I see people paying school fees that they shouldn't pay. Do you get what I'm saying? They pay school fees that they shouldn't pay, but it's like it's prestigious for your child to be in that school. So they go and they put their children in those schools because it's prestigious for your child to be in this when you mention the name. You know, and you see people that have earned a lot of money over the years, if you add it up. But I have created the waster to destroy. There's wasted money on things, on cars, on things, names, impressions, and all sorts of things. You see people living on the lights, running water, wasting your money on the phone, on data that you shouldn't even bother. I mean, so many things. But I have created the waster to destroy. Yes. I'm talking about prosperity.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes. And my cities through prosperity shall be spread abroad. God is going to spread his work through the prosperity of his people. So the work of God is spread. And so God is not against us prospering. But prosperity is not our God. Neither is it going to guide us on how to preach and what we should do in the church. Do you see? But prosperity is necessary. God wants people to prosper. So instead of raising money, I'm raising people.
Wow.
And the people who should prosper, I'm raising people. Instead of raising money, I'm raising people. Prosperous people.
Yes, sir.
Why raise money when you can raise people?
Wow.
Yes, I'm not wasting my people. Yes. So, what a blessing it is, all right, to know one or two keys of prosperity. In Luke 16, verse 1. Let's talk about a little bit of prosperity. There was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. I have created the waster to destroy. That's why he was going to lose his job. Because a waster is a destroyer. Yes, a waster is a destroyer. Now, when you find someone who is rich and stable in his riches, you'll notice the same characteristics. They eat as someone who is still saving money because they have saved money for years. Are you with me? They go shopping as someone who, do you get it? Has been saving for years. Yes. I would be the cheapest person for you to look after if you know how to look after me. I wouldn't spend. You see, one time, you wouldn't spend more than £1 to feed me. Yes, an English pound. We didn't spend more than £1, £2. And I'm okay. Because I have endured and I have been through. Yes. In England, I know how to stay there with hunger and still be living and going through. Yes, you wouldn't. I'll be the cheapest person for you to look after. Yes. So where you see people that are stable in prosperity, they are you, because the prosperity came by little and by not wasting, as against one big bonanza, which they didn't know even how to handle. You can't find a certain type of person going to buy shoes for $36,000. You know, one time I was in Dubai and I went to this. They took us on a tour, so we went to this place and I saw a shop. I said, "How much is this?" $36,000 for either a belt or a pair of shoes. I said, "Wow, so people are buying." So you buy four pairs. Beautiful. You see, such people have, I don't know how they came to the money. Yes. So, I have created the waster to destroy. If you have relationships and you waste the relationships, you'll find out that you've destroyed your life. Because you wasted the relationship and the opportunities the relationship gave. I have created. Look at the scripture. Amazing. I have created the waster to destroy. When somebody proposed to you, I have created the waster to destroy. And you waste the opportunity. And you say, it's 1.25 centimeters shorter than me. I have created the waster to destroy. All who are in the Bible school, I have created the waster to destroy. Many people live in a castle. When they leave, they say, "My God, we were really blessed. We didn't even know where we were, what we had. The serenity of the campus. Yes, the beauty, the environment, the spirituality, the power, the grace. I'm a partaker of thy grace." Yes. God is giving you a master key. Yes. People who waste relationships are probably of the lowest IQ. The lowest what? IQ. Yes. Low IQ. Lowest intelligence. Because what it is that it takes a little bit of something apart from porridge, a little bit of something more up there. Do you see? to realize that this relationship is what through which this is coming, or other things are coming. So you need a little bit more than groundnuts or porridge or this dusty powder in the head. You get what I'm saying? To see that this relationship leads to this, this, to this. Even a church. That to see that the church has so much. You know, there are people today whose children are atheists because they left the church. Yes. Yes. I know people at a point in the development of the church, they said, the usual. Who are you? This and what? And they walked out, jumping, saying all sorts of things. And as they went out. Today, their children are atheists and other things. I don't want to even go into the other things. They don't want to hear of God and they don't know God. But all their friends, those the same age, all their friends, if you notice in the First Love Church, all the young people, people's children serving God around in the church, love God, want to be around to them, going to church is a nice thing. You find out that they are very friends who they used to play with are those type of children. And those who left, or not all, but I mean some who left, have had that happen to their children. So sometimes when you are doing something, you don't realize that the relationship, maybe it leads to this, leads to that, leads to the children being affected. So that's why I was trying to explain that it takes a little more than porridge. You know porridge? Quaker oats, yes. It takes a little more than have a bit Hausa cocoa or Quaker oats in your head to see that a relationship can lead to this and lead to that, even to your children, what you cannot do, which you find out also that there comes a time where you as a parent cannot control your child. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You may never know. You see, when children are being brought up and you show them film on Abraham, films on Moses, and you feel happy that, oh, my children are all Christians, that's not when they are Christians. Let them finish watching those cartoons and let them grow up and then they choose. That's when you know that they are Christians. Yes. You may never know limited. Lazy people. There's no future for a lazy person in the church. Lazy people also are wasters. I have created the waster to destroy. Put it up. The scripture. I have created the waster to destroy. Yes. God releases wastage, a waster, and the waster is only going to destroy. So that's why the Bible says there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. I was talking to a committee of Christians who had been summoned by a man of authority and given a commission. And I told them, listen, this is a great opportunity. If we waste it, it's like we are cursed. Wow. Let's not waste this opportunity. Wow. Either a lack of, I don't know what, makes us waste opportunities. So, I've given you a master key. Yes. Count your wastage. Consider it. What are you wasting? What love are you wasting? What opportunity are you wasting? What counsel are you flashing away? Think about the Give Thyself Holy Conference we had. A lot of messages. As I speak, 95% of it has been stolen from your heart already. Yes. If you would, because I've preached for hours, 9 hours, whatever a day, or 6 hours a day, times whatever, times four. Yeah. That's a lot of preaching, a lot of books. And when I read my books to you, you realize you have wasted the books. Is it not true? Yes. Because the book is being read to you. An army officer, I think he was a general, met one of our pastors and told him, do you know a good general? He said, you don't know what you have. He said, that book and what was written in it, history and examples spanning the history of man. Yes. Not easy to find in one volume. I have created the waster to destroy. Are you listening to me? Yes. So, brothers and sisters, through prosperity, God is going to spread his work all over the world. We are not stuck or confined to one country. During the Give Thyself Holy Conference, we had 150 countries. Reaching over 1.5 million. That means over 1.5 million phones or iPads or... Laptops or whatever connected to Give Thyself Holy. That's a lot. Amen. Beautiful. So, amazing. Let's not waste what God gives us. Yes. And I know that you're going to be one of the prosperous people who did not waste. Now, one of the things you can waste is an opportunity to give. Yes. An opportunity to do what?
Give.
To give. It's happened to me twice. Three times, different times, but I realized the first time was Idahosa. He came to Ghana and nobody told me. I felt I want to honor this man with a special offering, whatever was special to me. Then I came to a service and something happened at the service that offended me. I was what? Offended. Disloyalty. Then I was so put. His offering was in my pocket as he was using me as an Humpty Dumpty example in the church. Yes. His offering was in my pocket as he was using me as an example and almost making, ridiculing me in front of everybody. But after I finished, I said, you know, I've seen what Satan wants. He wants to destroy me. And he wants to take away the opportunity. Yeah. 2 weeks later, he died. Yeah. And I honored him. And he prayed for me and blessed me. It was my opportunity. I have created the waster to destroy. Yes. Another time, the same thing happened with Fred Price. He came to Ghana. He was supposed to come to us, but somebody crossed me, I should say, and rather took him. So I couldn't see him. Then someone said, oh, he's here, if you don't mind to come to where the hotel. And I thought, a lot of porridge thoughts came to my head. Quicker oats, you get what I'm saying? But I said, no, this is another trick to prevent me. So I had my offering. And I was thinking, this is a millionaire, American, whatever. It doesn't even value. But I went, I had a lunch, and then I presented my offering. And when he received the offering, he said, thank you. And also blessed me. And I learned something there. Again, I could see that Satan was taking away my opportunity to give, to sow a seed. He wanted to steal again. And again and again and again, I have seen this. I have created the waster to destroy. You may never get such a chance. Yeah. So today, as you are here listening, I don't know where you are, you may not have that chance again in that way, especially if you can. One day you see that the job you valued so much or the situation is changed. And then I say, when I was earning this or when this and that and that and that, I would have. If God opens the door one, listen, stop projecting the future when you have something to do now. Because you see, you may not have it again. If you wasted the last 10 years, how do you know you have another 10 years? And what circumstances do you think are going to come in the next 10 years? You know, my mother told me a secret. She said something about when you are in your 50s. Yeah? A time you don't have when you are at another age. Yes. So, remember, God gives you an opportunity. That's why I encourage people to get married when you are young. You are wasting your strength moving around, watching pornography. Yes. Yes. Karama Shakaya. God is blessing you.
Amen.
So today we are going to receive an offering, and I want everybody. I've spoken a lot today. Yes. Yes. Don't waste it. Don't waste the opportunity to give. I've created the waster to destroy. Amazing scripture. Isaiah 54 verse 16. Take it home with you. I have created the waster to destroy. Recognize. Mike Meadow calls it the law of recognition. Recognize things. Recognize people. Recognize things when they are around, lest they go out of sight. So take out your offering and your tithes. Tithing is the master. Listen, excuse me, before you take your... There is no type of giving that compares with tithing. Yes, it is only tithing which he promises to open the windows of heaven. There's nothing like tithing. No type of giving compares with tithing in its power to release from heaven. It's called an offering with salt. I'll share with you about that. Yes. Yes. An offering with salt. Yes.
Wow.
Are you there? Yes. So take your tithes. Don't forget to pay your tithe. Tithing, there is no powerful offering than a tithe. I will open you the windows of heaven. Bring all the tithes. So pay your tithes, everybody, no matter what. If you don't trust in the church organization that you are sowing into, and you don't think that it is God's church and that we are using the money, right, then join another church where you believe what is being preached and you believe in supporting and paying your tithes. You don't think we are using it right or whatever. That's fine. It's like you are entitled to your opinion. But you should be in your church where you believe and sow your seed and pay your tithes. What a blessing. So this blessing is coming on you
Amen.
Today. Everyone taking your tithe. There is nothing like a tithe. There is nothing with the power of a tithe.
Yeah.
Yes. Take out your tithes, your offerings, and let's sow a seed to the Lord. What a blessing. It's coming on your life in a mighty way. Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Bless everyone as we present our offering to you and our tithes. Lord, thank you that through prosperity, your cities shall be spread abroad and your work will be spread. It will not be confined to one country or one little place, but it's spreading. It's spreading. It's spreading. It's spreading through prosperity. Bless. We raise up prosperous people in our midst. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Waiting for you when I'm just 16. Waiting for you. Waiting for you when I'm just 16. When Uzziah was 16 years old, he began to reign in Israel. He reigned in Israel for 52 long years. Uzziah listened to his mother. He did what was right in the sight of God. Oh yeah. He walked in the ways of his father. I know I'm not too young to reign for you. I wanna reign as a king for Jesus. Jesus, I am ready to be a priest for you. Thank you for calling me, for calling me so young. Reigning for you, reigning for you when I'm just 16. Oh yeah. Reigning for you, reigning for you when I'm just 16. Uzziah sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as Uzziah sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Uzziah fought against the enemies. He break down the walls of the enemies. Oh yeah. And God helped him. I know I'm not too young to reign for you. I wanna reign as a king for Jesus. Jesus, I am ready to be a priest for you. Thank you for calling me so young. Reigning for you when I'm just 16. Oh yeah, reigning for you when I'm just 16. I'm past 16 now, I don't wanna waste my life doing all sorts of things with my body. I heard of Uzziah, the little boy who became a king. I wanna work for Jesus from 16, just like Uzziah, the young king. You can use me, Jesus. To reign for you. I wanna reign as a king for Jesus. Jesus, I am ready to be a priest for you. Thank you for calling me so young. Reigning for you when I'm just 16. Come on, reigning for you when I'm just 16. Oh yeah, reigning for you when I'm just 16. Oh, 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 oh. Reigning for you when I'm just 16. Come on. Just like Uzziah. Too young to reign for you. I wanna reign as a king for Jesus. Jesus, I am ready to be a priest for you. Thank you for calling me so young. Reigning for you when I'm just 16. Come on, reigning for you when I'm just 16. Oh yeah, reigning for you when I'm just 16. Oh, 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 oh. Reigning for you when I'm just 16.
tell you a mystery. When Jesus shall come, we shall not be the same. We shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. We shall all stand before the great white throne to receive our judgment for the things we have done, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. We persuade all men to serve the Lord. Therefore, my beloved brethren,
where is that still? Where is that still? Where is that still? Where is that still? Hallelujah. First Love Church, it's time for the word. I didn't hear you. It's time for the word of God. Do you believe God has a message for you? Do you believe God has something to tell you today? Lift your hands and say, Lord, I'm ready to hear from you. Hallelujah. Let's sing our song of faith as we prepare to welcome the prophet in this afternoon. The song says, nothing is impossible when we put our trust in God.
Nothing is impossible when you put your trust in.
I can't hear you sing it.
Nothing is impossible when you're trusting.
Hearken to the voice.
Is there anything too hard? Then put your trust in God alone and rest upon His word.
Come on, declare.
Everything, oh everything, yes everything is possible with God.
Come on, lift your hands one last time. Let's sing it. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. How many of you are trusting in His word? Now sing, hearken to the voice. Is there anything? Come on, lift your hands in faith
for everything.
I can hear you say yes.
Everything is possible.
Let's welcome my favorite preacher, Bishop Dag Heward Mills.
Hallelujah. Father, thank you for this opportunity. We are grateful in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you all for joining in to Give Thyself Holy Conference. That was a blessing. And we are excited to be part of a great work. And thank you for your support. And I know that great things are happening in your life practically.
Amen.
In spite of the pandemic, your life is moving forward.
Amen.
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 You are one of the survivors.
Amen.
You have divine survival.
Amen.
Divine impenetrability.
Amen.
All right. Now, this morning, I want to start a short series on defend yourself. Defend yourself. Amen.
Amen.
Defend yourself against the enemy. There's one enemy that we all have, and that enemy is the devil. So that is the real enemy. Even when a human being presents himself as an enemy to you, it is because the devil has gotten involved in something. All right? So, what are you defending yourself against? Defend yourself, or how to defend yourself. But the topic is about defending yourself. Amen. Luke chapter 8, verse 20. This is a short Bible lesson. Those of you who are going somewhere, you know, I just want to tell you to get yourself alert and just stay for a few minutes. It's a short one. All right? And those who are planning to join revival, this is it. We are not having revival tonight. We are having just the service. So this is the revival and all in one. Beautiful. All right? Luke chapter 8 and verse 26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time. Yes. Which had devils long time. And and wear no clothes, and neither abode in any house but in the tombs. All right, this is all that I want to read from here. So, when devils have been at work for a long time, number one, wear no clothes. You know all the wear no clothes things. Especially shame. Amen. Shame is one of the aims of the devil. Shame. Yeah. And that's why you have many, many prophecies in the Bible that I shall not be ashamed. Wow. Shame is one of the aims of the devil, to shame you. So when the devil works successfully against you, this is a case of what happens when devils are able to work on one person for a long time. Yeah. You'll be ashamed. Shame. Otherwise, because it doesn't benefit the demons in any way for the person to take off his clothes. Do you get what I'm saying? Yes. But the devil loves to mock and to make a shame of you and of your life. And be able to say, oh, you see. So even there's a scripture which talks about, because you have said, aha, aha. Yes. God notice it. Because you said, aha, aha. He notice it. Because it is something. Psalm 31, 35. I don't know if that's the one, but yea, they opened their mouth wide against me and said, aha, aha, our eye has seen it. But there's one that he says, because you said that, aha, aha, this is the punishment I'm going to give you. Because God is not trying to shame his people. Yes. Aha, that says the Lord God. Because the enemy has said against you, aha. Yes. The enemy is the one who wants to say against you, aha. It will not be able to say aha against you.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Now, so shame, all right, is one of the goals of the devil for your life. And my subject is how to defend yourself, or defending yourself, or defend yourself. I want you to have proper defenses against this. Is it whether you believe it or not? Whether you know it or not? Whether you are aware of it or not? That's the aim of the devil. You don't have to know it for it to be real.
Yeah.
There are things that are real, whether you know it or not. And that's one of the things they've been trying to talk about, the corona, is that whether you see it or not, or you don't know anybody was or not, that it's a real thing.
Yeah.
So you have to be careful. All right? So, number one is shame. And then number two is what? Luke 8. Where were we? The devil, he wear no clothes, neither abode in any house. Instability. All right? Instability of your life. Do you see? instability of your life. Neither abode in it. We didn't let him stay at home at all. That's why one of the strongest demonic attacks is to make you leave a church. So when you have gone very high in a church and been in the church for a long time, and something is able to make you go out, it's one of the strongest demonic attacks on your life that has succeeded. Yes, because for younger Christians and people who've just come and around for some time, it's not such a big thing for them to go. Some of them go and come for some time before they finally stay. But when you have stayed and then you've even risen up and been at a certain high level, and the devil is able to take you out of your house where you are planted, is one of the strong presences of a devil. So you see that he will not let him abide in any house. And when a tree that has been planted for a long time is uprooted, it never replants properly again. Do you see? It's very, very unusual. You know, one day I was in America and I saw something very unusual. And it was nothing short of a miracle. And I'm sure any of you here would be amazed to see that. Do you want me to tell you what I saw?
Yes.
Yes. I've never seen it before, never heard of it, but I saw it. I was standing by the roadside when I saw a huge truck. We call it an articulator in Ghana. I don't know what it's a 16-wheeler, whatever in your country, where you are. And it was carrying a house. Yes, a whole house. A home, a whole house. And it was moving the house from one place, part of the city, to another. The whole house, including the foundation. I saw the foundation, blocks, everything. It had been lifted out, the whole house, and was put on this track and was moving very slowly by the full house. So you can see it's an amazing thing, isn't it? Yeah. I saw this in America. Yeah, it's unusual. Because you feel that the house will be spoiled by the time it gets there. But the house was moving, and it was actually moving. Really? And sometimes we have houses, we wish we could move our house to another area. If you could just move my house to a new area, you'd be happy. So that's how it is to move a tree. It's very unusual for a tree to be removed where it's been planted for a long time and do well again. So anyway, whenever I talk about this, I remember the house that was being moved. I say, wow, miracles do happen. Then the next one is, but in the tombs. Now, not only would he not want you to be near, to be unstable, but to be near death. Like, this is where you'll be buried. So stay near to where you end your life. So he's trying to kill you all the time. That's why the Bible says he was a murderer from the beginning. That's why when he takes you from the right place, he tries to kill you. And Satan is always trying to kill. Wow. You must remember this. It's an important revelation of the devil. And he tried to kill Jesus till Jesus actually was killed, murdered on the cross. All right, but it was all part of the plan of God. Amen.
Amen.
Now, how do you defend yourself against a demon? Demons. Now, I have a book called Know Your Invisible Enemies. So I'm going to be sharing with you from chapter 24. Yes, of this book. You may think I just wrote the books, but they are actually readable. Right. Now, in the spirit, you are actually shaped and seen as a man. You actually have a man's figure. The devils and angels see you spiritually as a man or a woman. That is why the Bible describes the inner man or the inward man or the hidden man. All right? So depending on which one you prefer. 1 Peter 3 and verse 4 says, let it be the hidden man. Ephesians 3:16 says, the inner man. And Romans 7:22 says, the inward man. All right? It is this man that continues living after death, as Jesus spoke of in the case of Lazarus and the rich man. Both the rich man and Lazarus were alive and able to communicate fully after death. Both the rich man and Lazarus and even Abraham were alive and recognizable after death as men. They were recognized as men. You and I are indeed real men in the spirit and are seen clearly by devils, angels, and even by God as such. All right? Are you with me?
Yes.
So when demons are looking at you with gleaming eyes, what they see is a man or a woman. Okay?
Yeah.
In the spirit. Now, it is this inner man, hidden man, or inward man that is also the target of devils. Hordes of demons are spying your inner man longingly and seeking a gap in your defenses so that they can enter you and live happily ever after. As a man, you could be dressed up or naked. The Laodiceans were described as Christians who were naked. Obviously, this was not a physical nakedness because they were not even aware of their own nakedness. Their nakedness had to be pointed out to them. In Revelation 3:17, it says, and thou knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Apart from being clothed in the spirit, you can also be protected by armor. I'm talking about defending yourself. This armor gives you protection from flying, invading demons that fill the atmosphere of the earth. Indeed, Apostle Paul told all Christians to put on some armor because there are demons that fly around like flocks of birds in the atmosphere. And there are demons that move around like swarms of insects and flies. And these demons are seeking to rest in human beings. If you relax, these devils will invade you and your friends, all your friends. If you joke with spiritual realities, you may pay a very high price for it. When you see a madman, you may often wonder how his situation came to be. It is an age-old question. How do people become so exposed to devils? Why were devils able to turn a person into the living dead? Nearly everyone has a friend or someone they know that has been possessed by devils in a very frightening way. This reality makes us all want to protect ourselves from a possible exposure to demons. The Bible clearly gives us the way to tighten security around us to be able to deflect many attacks of invading hordes of devils. The security of your soul and spirit and body can only be increased in the way revealed by the word of God. You can defend yourself. It is time to reduce all possible exposure to demons and invading devils. And there are 7 clear ways that you can increase your exposure to demonic hordes. You must fight to increase your security. You must repel any invasions. And you must defend yourself. Amen.
Amen.
So in Ephesians chapter 6, we see what you can do to defend yourself. And I want you to take note of it because, as usual, it's only when something has really gone wrong that everybody says, I now see this is so, it's really true. Look at Ephesians 6 verse 12. It says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the world. All right? Verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So God is encouraging you, put on your clothes, okay? Put on your clothes. Verse 14. Now it gives you the first element. First. And I can see why it's the first. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Okay? The first thing in the armor of God is truth. And it's the commonest thing that is not there in Christians. You see? So once you don't have truth, you are heavily exposed. It's true. You are exposed. So the demons see you and they can just see, this is something to eat. One time I was involved in casting out of devils and there was this young man and the demon started to manifest and speak. And I asked, how were you able to come here? And the demon answered and said, the belt of truth was loose. I almost fell down. Because at that time, I thought it was a metaphorical belt. I thought it was metaphorical. This is as far back as 1970, maybe 1979, 1980, somewhere around that time. I almost fell down in shock. Because I was quite a new Christian and I thought, belt of truth, breastplate, and so on. It's poetry, it's metaphorical. But here was a young man speaking. He had gone completely mad. They were about to take him to asylum down to the mental hospital when they decided to call me so that we pray with this guy first before going out. How did you come? He said, well, the belt of truth was loose. Now, next time you see a wildlife film, I want you to watch the lions carefully. You see, when every animal that is mentioned in the Bible as a devil reveals to you how they work. Okay. One of the devils, one of the things that is mentioned as a devil is a lion. It says the devil as a roaring lion goes around seeking. The birds that fly. Is in Revelation 18, you have become the hold of every foul and unclean bird. Beelzebub, that is flies and insects. They are the ones that come when your clothes are off. You notice it more. Sometimes when I'm going somewhere, I make sure that I'm wearing trousers, do you see, and socks. Because I need to be protected from mosquitoes. Isn't it true? Yeah. So the clothes, then the armor comes on. Now, next time you watch a lion's eating animal, it's something that I've watched closely. When lions catch a prey like a zebra, you find out that they start eating the stomach. Now, I would have thought that they would start eating the meat of the, yeah. But they seem to know the different parts. You know, and they seem to bite the middle, the soft at the stomach first. You get it? I don't know if you have one of those things there, but they eat the middle of the stomach. Man, I thought they wouldn't really want to eat that because the stomach contains the intestines and all. I don't find that is meat. Then also, when they are biting a prey, they attack the neck. You know, I mean, they know that if they can grip the neck, then that's it. Yes. So they are like there's some intelligence that is amazing. For instance, when lions are going to eat somebody, let's say a buffalo or whatever. You know, lions are usually, even though they are the strongest, they also work in a team. There's nothing wrong with being in a team when you are strong and great. Great people can be in a team together. So what is shocking is you see them spread out like this, as if they've discussed. You take right, you take the left, you take. And some go somewhere and stand there, and then others go and chase the prey. Then the prey runs this way, but the other one is waiting there. It's amazing. Yeah. And so that's the kind of thing, traps and tricks And then knowing our soft bellies, what to bite, and what will take life out of you. Because everywhere is not the same. Do you see? Now, the soft belly is where the belt of truth is. If you check your soft belly, I don't know how soft your belly is. But if you check your soft belly, you'll find that is where the belt of truth is. That's the softest, easiest place in almost every Christian to bite and to eat. It's truth and honesty and, yes, openness. You get it? Yes. You find out that that is, there are much better ones than that. That is you can see here, see the lion has bitten the neck. Yes, he knows the neck. Yes, so they know the parts where there is a problem. You get it? Yes. It's unfortunate. Are you with me? Yes. So the enemy knows the soft bellies. And he knows. All right? Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 11 and verse 12. All right? Please turn with me. Right. Beautiful. Now, you also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed, all right, a gift bestowed upon us, okay, by the means of many persons, thanks be given by many on our behalf. So you can help somebody by praying. What does it say? You helping together by prayer for us. So there are people that are in the helps ministry that pray, and they are very helpful. You can help by praying. You also helping together by prayer for us. I remember one man of God said, you must always have people that are praying for you. Now in verse 12, he said, for our rejoicing is this. This is our rejoicing. The testimony of our conscience. Paul is describing his own personal, you know, his own personal life and ministry. He says, this is why I'm happy, that the testimony of our consciences, all right, conscience, that in simplicity, okay, and godly sincerity, and not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conduct, not conversation. Conversation is talking now, but then it was conduct, behavior, in the world, and more abundantly to you word. Okay? Now notice, this is the verse I want you to see. There are three words here that I want you to see. Okay? Are you there? Are you still around? Are you going home? Are you tired? Those of you watching, I hope you are. Don't go. You see, when you are in the kitchen when I'm preaching and you are doing this, you are frying something, you are doing whatever, it can wait. Just a few minutes, I finish preaching. So I don't think it's right. Please put it down and go back. Go back and then let's concentrate on the preaching, please. Concentrate. I told you today I'm preaching for a short time. And there's no revival. So this is the revival. All right? Notice. Please notice. Just three words I need you to notice. Sometimes the words are too many, so we're taking only three. For our proud confidence is this, that the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity. Now, if you don't mind, you check the meaning of this word. In my Bible here, it says the opposite of duplicity. Simplicity meaning the opposite of duplicity. If you wouldn't mind checking the meaning of duplicity, then we are going somewhere with the Bible study. Duplicity. Beautiful. What does it mean? It means deceitfulness in speech or conduct, as by speaking or acting in two different ways to different people, concerning the same matter. All right? Doubleness. Doubleness. Doubleness of heart or speech. All right? The use of two or more distinct answers or allegations. You see? Are you with me?
Yes, yes.
So if you, I don't know if you have a King James Bible like I have, but when I have my King James Bible, it has a note above it, above the word. Do you have that little lit above it? And when you tap it, footnote, it says the opposite of duplicity. You are two people. So Paul says, I'm happy that I'm only one person. Karamakashakababa. I'm happy that I'm only one person. You see, in one to one person, you could say, oh, thank you very much for the opportunity to work here. Then you tell the other person, I feel used. I'm just being used by the organization. As two statements that come from one mouth. One mouth is thank you. Then you get the person who's being told thank you will really believe that he is really appreciated. Then the next person is told, I've been used. I've been wasted. They wasted my time. I've wasted my time. So Paul said that I am happy. Go back to the verse. That I have lived my life in simplicity, which unfortunately is not the same word as we think. So I was surprised when I tapped on it just to find out what it meant. And it says, not duplicity. The opposite of duplicity. If you check your Bible, tap it. Is it there?
Yes.
Opposite of duplicity. So I checked duplicity because I was wondering whether it has to do with photocopying of sheets or something. And it says, double speaking. Yes. Amazing, isn't it?
Amazing.
Now, many of us have that. Do you see? When we see our fathers, we have certain behavior that we put up. When he's gone, we have a different way of talking. A different look. You look very respectful and very nice and very good. But one moment, you are saying, I'm so blessed with this church. I thank God. If it wasn't for you, I don't know where I would be. Glory be to God. Thanks be to God for thy life, for thy ministry. I really praise the Lord. Whenever I bless the day I found you, is my favorite song. The next time you are saying, I've wasted my time, I've been used, and whatever kind of talking. That is, and Paul said, I'm glad that I was just the same, not two people.
I'm happy.
You see, read it. It says, put a scripture, it says, they are rejoicing, or the reason why I am happy is this. You see, in the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity, that word simplicity is that I'm not duplicate, having two, not duplication, duplicity.
Duplicity.
Yes. All right? You can't sit around and you are pure and holy in one chapter and the next moment you are something completely different in another world. That it doesn't work. All right. Then he said, I told you there are three words here. This is not the message. It's just, it's a message. It's about defending yourself. Yeah. Defend yourself by putting on that soft part of your belly is the first place. Have you found the animal eating the soft place? Beautiful. Yeah. I don't know. Are you seeing that? Is that the stomach? That's the ribs. That's the ribs. That by this time, they finish the soft. They go for the soft belly. They can see that there's a soft belly there. Now, look at the second word, and godly sincerity. Now, if you don't mind, maybe we can do the Bible study together. You check it, you press it in your Bible. I told you to people to get a Tekata Bible. That one, when you tap it, the words just come. You don't need to study Greek anymore. You don't even need to be a Hebrew scholar.
No, right there.
Yes. It's right there. Yeah. And you just tap it and we are all doing the Bible study together. What does it say? The first word is clearness. Clear. Clear. You can see through. Some of us are like mystery mists that are passing by. There's nothing clear about you. You are mystical and you are full of shadows, darkness, mysteries, secrets. You are like a fanti kinky. Every leaf you remove leads to another leaf. And each one leads to another one. And this one leads to another and to another. That's what I saw a film that was being advertised. Something, I forget the name of the film. Then he said the underscript was, every secret leads to another. Wow. Every secret leads to what? Another secret. Karamashapakata. I hope you don't have such characteristics. Oh. You know, these things would not be in the Bible if they were not real. Clearness. Duplicity. Yes. Two people in one. Mm. With fleshly wisdom. Okay? Now, but by the grace of God. So the third one is fleshly wisdom, which again shows a way of thinking. And what is that fleshly wisdom? A way of thinking that trusts in lies. Yes. You trust in lies. And that is one of the things that you are going to have to grow out of, to learn not to believe and trust that deception will succeed. Yes. My mother used to say, lies have short legs. They will catch up with you very quickly. Yes. Lies have short legs. They will catch up with you. It will not be long before you to be seen. You know, these people, all these politics and so on, you can't tell even how the elections will be, because people are growing in their perception and understanding of what is going on. Yes. People stay around for some time, every 4 years, you know, there are changes. So people gradually begin to get a feeling, what is this, what is this, what is this? It is not as it used to be. That's why it's not so predictable. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Or you are leaving?
Yes.
Yes. Now, so it is very important for you to defend your soft belly. Defend your what? Your soft belly. Yes. Once you are into deception of any type, do you see? Your soft belly is ready to be bitten. It's just a matter of time. You will be completely defenseless. Yes. When the attacks come in your life. Yeah. What is this one? Lion eating. This one they finish eating. Yeah. But it's amazing. If you watch, as I have watched many times, you see that they come. And after some time, nobody takes you seriously anymore. Yeah. Because when you've told one a lie too many, nobody wants to really trust you. Yeah. Remember the story of the boy who cried wolf? Yes. He cried wolf, and they came. When they said, "Ah, wolf, wolf," then the people came to save him. Do you know the story? You don't know the story. You don't know the story. A boy who was with his family, and he went to work on the field, yes, as a shepherd, and then he, I don't know what came over him, but he wanted to try whether he would be saved when he shouted wolf, and if he saw a wolf coming. So he was there, then he started shouting, "Wolf! Wolf!" And all the villagers came out to come and save him with cutlasses, with bows and arrows, guns and everything. And when they came, the boy said, "Oh, there wasn't any wolf. I was just, you know, testing Mike." And they were not happy at all with him. So they all went back. And then after some time, he decided to do it again. And he shouted, "Wolf! Wolf, save me! Help me! I'm dying! I'm dying! Oh, you don't know what's happening! Come!" The whole village came out with their bows and arrows, with their knives, with their swords, with their, what do you call it? Catapult. Their guns and everything. And when the boy saw them, he laughed. "Oh, sorry. Setewa. Sorry. Sorry, you know. Setewa, you know." And he said, look, don't take it seriously. Don't take it to heart. Yeah, you can see. Huh, that's it. The buffaloes, you see, they went for the soft belly. You see, the meat is in the legs. Look at the leg. They didn't eat in the leg. They left the legs, which is where the beef, because if, you know, when you are serving steak, it's from the legs and so on. Yes. So in certain Chinese restaurants, they will serve you pork belly. The belly of the thing. The lining below has a bit of meat. Yes. But the real meat is in the legs and so on. All right? So they go for the soft belly first. So this is the beginning of it. Are you there? Yeah. Back to the boy who cried wolf. So the third time, all right, he was on the field again and he called, "Wolf, wolf!" There was no wolf. And the people came again. This time they ran because they knew that it must be the truth. After he's fooled us twice. And the third time cannot be possible. It cannot be possible that he's lying. So, to make grown-ups wake up from their rooms, their houses, and come, it cannot be possible that three times on three different days. It's not possible. This is our son is going to be eaten. When they came, he told them that, look, he saw a shadow and he thought it was a man. He was lying. So the people went away. And almost everybody said in their heads that this guy, yes, if ever he calls, God himself has to come to save him because I cannot be there. So the fourth time he was there, then this time 17 wolves appeared. Yes. And he shouted, "Wolf, wolf, 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 wolf. It's true, it's real. This time it's real. This time it's real. This time. Trust me this time. I know the last one I wasn't, but trust me this time." But you see, as he was shouting the wolf, "Trust me this time," the "trust me" couldn't even get to the people. "Trust me this time. This time it's really true." I don't know if you've ever seen a film with wolves eating somebody. I tell you, wolves are no small creatures. And the wolves ate him from head to toe. Just like this. It took up his soft belly. And the reason was because his lying, do you see, has destroyed him. Yes. It has caught up with him. Just as my mother said, lies have short legs. They will catch up. So those who trust in deception, and Paul was saying that, this is what I'm happy about. Notice the scripture. Our rejoicing is this, or this is what makes me happy. I feel happy about something that in simplicity, that is the not duplicity. Honestly, I'm also surprised at the meaning of all these things, that it's not duplicity. And then godly sincerity, clearness. When you see me, that's all you get. There's no new other world behind. Yes. Beautiful. And not with fleshly wisdom, which is the wisdom of trusting in lies. Are you there? So I hope you are getting the message. Amen? Yes. And it's very important that you learn to trust and believe what I'm saying, that you must not trust in your deceptions and lie. Amen. Amen. Now, Jeremiah chapter 13. Verse 22. And if thou say in thine heart, wherefore come these things upon me? Do you see? Why are these demons able to afflict me? For the greatness of thine iniquity are thy skirts discovered, and thy heels made bare. Okay? For the greatness of thy what? Iniquity are thy skirts discovered, and thy heels made bare. So he's saying that your sins have caused you to be made ashamed. Okay? Your skirts are discovered and your heels are made bare. Verse 23. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Do you see? Or the leopard, his spots. Then may you also do good that are accustomed to do evil. Wow. So what he's saying is that when you get used to doing evil, you get it? Yeah. It becomes difficult to change. It's like changing the Ethiopian's skin. You see, my skin is like an Ethiopian skin. It's not that easy to change, even if I want to bleach or darken. I don't know whichever one it is. Not that easy to change. It's a whole project. You get it? Yeah. Verse 24. Therefore will I scatter them, okay? As the stubble that passed away by the wind of the wilderness. I will do what? I will do what? Scatter them. Why will I scatter them? Notice verse 25. That is the verse that I need you to see. This is thy lot, that is to be scattered. The portion of thy measures from me, saith the Lord. Because thou hast forgotten me and trusted in falsehood. You see, trusting in a lie is a mistake. You see, that's what I'm saying, that the fleshly wisdom that Paul was talking about is to try. I trust that I'll do this. When I tell lies, it's going to work. Nobody knows, nobody knows, nobody knows, nobody knows. That's the point I'm trying to make, that don't have that confidence, because it's not a good. I'm just trying to explain to you that it won't even work. I mean, it may work for a while, but it won't really work forever. Yes. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. This is what happens. And I'm saying that you may not know how much you have grown to trust false things. Because it comes. That's why the leopard cannot easily change his spots. Because those who are accustomed to falsehood, they're accustomed to doing certain things, it stays. So you need to watch yourself and not develop faith in false things, because so many of us are trusted in falsehood. But what it means is that your belly, your soft belly, is exposed. Yes. So it's important that you fight deception in every possible way. Deception of yourself and of living deceptions. And that's the first.
I'm talking about defending yourself. Close up everything about you that is not real. We talk about clearness. Duplicity. Close up, change and become one person. What you see is what there is. Just become the real thing. Not that you look beautiful in church, but at home you look like a gollywog. Okay? You are pleasantly smiling and friendly in the presence of the church, but you are moody and unfriendly in real life. Duplicity. Two people, but it's one person. All right? Are you still there or you are leaving? You are very quiet, but I don't really care. All right. Now, you need to, I want to go through some areas very quickly. Number one, do not entertain deception about the will of God in your life. Amen. Don't entertain deception about the will of God in your life. Otherwise, it opens the door for demons. In 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 20, the Lord said, "Who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall?" And one said on this manner, and there came forth the Spirit and said, "I will persuade him." And the Lord said, "How will you persuade him?" He says, "I will go forth and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets." And he said, "Thou shalt persuade him and prevail. Go. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee." So, Ahab was used to the deceptions about his life and his future. So, when he was supposed to hear a lie about himself, he believed it. You know, there are people that are ready to lie to you and praise you. And that is one of the things that often happens to the politicians. When they come out of power, I've had the privilege of encountering a number of them as they are no more in power. And you see that sometimes they are seeing things differently. Because sometimes as we are here, we wonder, why is this happening? It looks so easy to see. But over there, do you see, they are told things. Because you don't know, and they are persuaded. So, deception can easily come, especially if you allow self-deception. So, don't entertain any form of deception when the will of God is clear. Because Ahab ended his life and his ministry and his whole life by entertaining deceptions. Many great churches entertain deceptions about where they are, how great they are. When you see, when we started praying for nations, then we saw that what? We are where? We are where? Nowhere. But if you want, you can entertain deception. If we had a program and 1.5 million or more people came to look at it, and so what? How many people are there in the world? How many million? 7 billion. So even in Africa alone, there's about 400, 500, 700 million people. What is 1 million? It's a very small dot. And much smaller is your 240 people on Facebook. Yes. And your 14 Basenta and Guasenta members. It's even smaller in the millions. So let's stop deceiving ourselves and allowing deception about our status. Don't be deceived by your status. We are actually not even doing well. You are nobody. Amen. All right? Are you listening to me? Yes. So don't be deceived. Number two, don't be deceived about how beautiful. Don't allow. When I say don't entertain, the book says don't entertain. In other words, don't allow yourself to be self-deceived. Okay. Don't entertain deceptions about how beautiful you are or how nice you are. In Ezekiel chapter 16, it speaks to a lady. He said, and the word of the Lord came to, it says, remember your birth and your nativity. Your father was an Amorite and your mother an Hittite. And as for thy nativity, in the day thou was born, thy navel was not cut. Neither was thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou was not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. But thou was cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou was born. So it's like, remember how you came to be what you are. It will help you to not entertain deceptions about who you are. You have some people, you come from wherever you came from. You come to live at Anakazo. Where you were staying before you came, what is it like? How have you been before? When you compare your job that you have now with where you were before, you know, people don't want to look back and say, I was thrown out on the field. It's the grace of God that I am where I am. Yeah. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, and I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. I have caused thee to multiply. So we know that God has caused us to multiply. These verses are against self-deceptions and entertaining delusions about ourselves, about how important we are and how great we are. And the more deceptions we entertain about ourselves, the more we are wide open and demons just look at our soft belly and say, that is a meat for me. And thou hast increased and waxen great, and thy breasts are fashioned, and thy hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. And when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant, and thou becamest mine. God said, now you are mine. Then I washed you with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with broidered work, and shod thee with badger skin, and I gathered thee about with fine linen, and covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with ornaments, and I put bracelets upon thy hand, and a chain on thy neck. Why don't you remember how God did all these things for you? Instead of sitting in self-delusions and deception about who you are. That is why demons of grumbling, demons of complaining, demons of discontentment, demons of sickness, all kinds of things come into you because you don't really catch your mind back of how things have been to get to this point. Yeah. You were thrown in the field and I went to pick you. That's what how God is describing us. I decked thee and I put a jewel on thy forehead and earrings in thine ears and a beautiful crown upon thine head. And thou was decked with gold and silver and thy raiment was of fine linen and silk and broidered work. And thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil. And thou was exceeding beautiful and thou didst prosper into a kingdom. And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty. For it was perfect through my comeliness. It's my association with you that made you comely. I've never been welcome anywhere because I'm a doctor. Or because my name is Heward Mills. I'm only welcomed at places because of God. That's the truth. Every president I have ever been privileged to interact with is because of God and not because of my profession as a doctor. There are so many doctors in the world. India produces, they don't need any doctor from anywhere. Many, many doctors. Verse 15, but thou didst trust in thine own beauty and playest the harlot because of thy renown, and pourest out thy fornications on everyone that passed by. His it was. Anybody that passed by. Yes, you are available. Cheap. So, you see, you start misusing what God has given you when you have delusions about how you came to be where you are. Those of you who watch the film of the history during the Give Thyself Holy, you see where we came from. You get a bit of a picture of that, don't you? Yeah. That's why I made that film. Because people around now, they don't know how we got here. Yes. It's hustling and struggling step by step. Yes. Hustlers. We are hustlers. Strugglers. We are fighting every step. We are trudging through. There's nothing super or supermanical about anything going on here. You are looking at a struggling, hustling, fighting, forcing, praying to God for help person. Yes. That's all that the ministry is. Trying to walk on the Via Dolorosa without falling down more too many times. Are you there? Amen. Don't deceive yourself about the state. Number three, don't allow. Otherwise, demons are going to take over. Yes. You are nice, but not too nice. When you are married, that's how demons come into marriages. You see how happy they are when they start. Why do you think demons come in? Because people start to feel that I'm this and I'm that. And you know you are nothing. You know you are nothing. But everybody feels I'm somebody. Yeah. Number three, don't entertain deception about your church. Proverbs 27 verse 23. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks. Look well to thy heads. Isn't it? Proverbs 27 verse 20. Because riches are not forever. Yeah. Don't be deceived about that. Oh, this is going to be like that forever. Because the church is there, it's going to be there tomorrow. No. It is because of those deceptions that are not in my mind. But I see many churches that are not there. That's why we are fighting to build the church and let the church work even without the leader and the founder. Yes. That's why we break up the church. Yes. So that it will last. Don't entertain deceptions. That is all the devil wants you to do, is to have something that is not true, that is close to you. Then your gaps are open. And then he's just standing there watching. As soon as he sees that it's established, he's got a space, then he comes in. It's churches we think they are forever. That's why you see that 5,000, they are now 200. Yeah. It's people who think they are nice and they become overconfident in their power. And you hear it in their words and their speech. They are used to being a beauty, being nice, being important, being around, being great, being acknowledged. Then the demons look at it and say, yeah, we got him. He's there. Soft belly. And then they take it up. Yes. That's why sometimes people are shocked when they are transferred or when they are sacked. They got used to being around. And they didn't know that place, it is something that has been given to you. And it can be taken away. Number five. Do not entertain deception about how strong you are. Yes, spiritually. You are not strong. You can be stronger. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, wherefore let him that think he stand take heed lest he fall. Yeah. One of the groups of people that are found to be not strong spiritually are people who are in full-time ministry. Yes. I'm not saying they are not strong. I say it's a group that I see them a lot. And I see people that are not strong spiritually. They are strong and they are around because I am around. If I'm not around, they will not be strong. It's true. It's something I notice. The reason I'm saying this is because when I was in secondary school, I had a friend He was with me all the time. When you see him, you see me. We were like twins. Every ministry activity, we were together. All my visitation to find lost souls, I went with him. And when it was time for sixth form, unfortunately for him, he didn't get to the same school that I was. So he went to another school in Accra, and I was in another school. Ah, the first day when he went to the school, the guy saw him. They said, "Hey, Charlie, waiting, Charlie, waiting, man, come. Hey, who are you? Oh, some cruel guys." And they thought he was an unbeliever. And he was a Christian. He was my right-hand man. They sat him down, they chatted with him. He couldn't tell them. That was the end of him. He followed them and became part of them from day one. It's not something I'm imagining. I saw him disappear. I'm talking about somewhere. I can remember the places I've been to with this guy. Everywhere I've been moving with, just the two of us. You see us, it's like Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas. In one day, he was finished. Many years later, when I went to, I followed him up. My heart was bleeding. I went, followed him up to where he was. When I sat down, he said, "You've come, eh? Just like I used to come with you to go and look for people." Then he gave me an album, a photo album. Then I should, he said, "You look at it first." So I open, and you see his ways. He's doing this. He's doing different things. He was in the photographs. Then he said, I know what you are going to say. He said, "You are going to say, as a dog returns to his vomit, so has a backslider gone back to..." And he started to quote scriptures. He was my friend and my partner, Paul and Barnabas. Many are strong because of somebody, but not you. You yourself are not strong. If that person is taken away, you see suddenly you capitulate. You what? Capitulate. Check the word. It's a word. Don't be deceived. And I can see shallowness all around. I see people shallow. This one doesn't pray. There are people that used to say, pray before the enemy wants you. Pray. You don't pray. Pray. And people are not spiritual. And you open yourself up. That's why I'm teaching about defending yourself. Defending yourself, like Paul said, I thank God. Duplicity, no. Clearness, yes. Everything is clear. When you see, you are seeing through. There's nothing you can't see. Not that somebody has to come and say, "I want to tell you something about this person." What? Oh, I just want you to know that this. All the people who work in the person's office, no one believes. When you say the person is a believer, they get offended. It's like, "This person is a Christian. So I just want you to know about this and this and that." You will never capitulate. Look at capitulate. To surrender on terms agreed on. To surrender or transfer as an army, a fortress on certain conditions. Don't be deceived by your association with a stronger Christian. Defend yourself by telling yourself the truth about your real state. There are times I transfer people so that they will know where they are spiritually. Because other people are around. So we are all men of God. We are apostles. We are this. We are this. You are NATO. Do you know NATO? You are NATO. I don't mean NATO Jones. I mean NATO. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he falls. Don't be deceived. You see people moving in a convoy, moving in a group. You assume that we are all whatever. A devil is targeting. Look, there can be a herd of buffaloes, but they target one. Usually it's an old male. He's worn out from many fights he has had in among the herd, because they fight, the bulls fight. So they are weakened, but they fight with the head. They are dizzy from fighting. They are distracted. Then you see that he's alone. Oh, then they surround him. And the buffaloes are big. They are huge. If you see a buffalo in real life, it's bigger than a Nissan Patrol. It's about two Nissan Patrols joined together. Huge. Don't let the devil deceive you. Take away, get rid of deceptions. I'm telling you. And the last one. Do not be deceived about your relationship with the opposite sex. Yeah. And it came to pass after, Judges 16, verse 4. He loved a man in the valley of Sorek. This was the third one. How many is yours? You won't mind me. I said, how many is yours? This was Samson's third. Whose name was Delilah. And the Lord of the Philistines came unto her and said, entice him and see where in his great strength lies, and by what means we may prevail. And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, where thy great strength lies, wherewith thou might be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said, if they bind me with seven, then I shall be weak. Then the Lord of the Philistines brought her green withs, which had not been dry, and she bound him. And there were men lying in wait. And she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake withs. And so his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, thou hast mocked me. How can you say you love me when your heart is not with me? You mock me these three times. All right? And when Delilah saw he had told her his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines. And they came and they put out his eyes. Listen. Don't deceive yourself about relationships. Samson deceived himself. He said, oh, it's nothing. But it's not nothing. Don't deceive yourself. You see, unless you tell yourself. Sometimes when I preach, I say, oh, we are men. We are struggling. So, and then people are like, oh, how can you say that? Oh, I mean, how? I say, how can we say that? Is it not the truth? The more you, the way you say it, it frees us. Yes. Once you don't tell yourself the truth, it's, oh man, I'm not about such things at all. No. I'm not that type. You are that type. You are the type. You are normal. You are just like everybody else. Yes. And we deceive ourselves. Don't deceive yourself that your relationship with somebody is pure when it is not pure. Huh? When it is not pure. It is not. Don't tell yourself lies about a relationship. You just open yourself, then you become established in it. The devil is looking for an established lie and an established delusion. When he sees that it's there, then it can be reported radio. Single, single, three, four, trapa, tra. Single, single, three, four, three, trapa, tra. Soft belly, soft belly. Soft belly, soft belly. That is it. Soft belly, soft belly. Clearly. Copy, copy, copy. On the way, on the way. And there they come, there they come. Flocks. Flocks and heads. Rakapa shakata. They know. Because they can see that you are well established in your deceptions and well established in your delusions. And you have told yourself a lie. That's why this chapter, the next chapter, it says, do not entertain, accept deceptions. Yes. About these relationships. Yes. When I was going to enter a relationship with my wife, I told her, you know, I don't want to deceive you. I like you. But maybe I will not decide for you. So I want you to know. Should in case you tell me that I'm cursed because I led you and this and that, because I was visiting you and so on. Yes. Yeah. Because maybe you think that. So one day. If you say something, maybe you see me somewhere. I said, "Don't this man? He told me this. I said this and whatever and all that." Yeah, because I mean, after, like, you must be honest. So I like this person. You say you must be honest. So I feel likings. Yes.
Wow, I like
the way of a man with a maiden. It's working on you, but you, Even though the way of a man with a maiden is working on you, never admit it and never accept. When somebody asks, do you like, say, what do you mean by liking? What do you mean by that? So do you love the person? What exactly do you mean by that? Do you mean this? Do you mean this? Do you mean this? One question has become an essay. I should write an essay for you because I've asked you a question. So, dear friend, do not entertain deceitfulness and deception in your life. Amen. Amen. Because this is the open door for devils. Are you with me? What kind of devils? Isaiah 55. Verse 22. No, let's read from verse 21. I am showing you how the soft belly is exposed. Verse 21. Are you watching?
Yes.
You like films?
Yes.
Let's watch a film. Verse 21. The Bible is a film. Yeah, it's amazing. Thy people shall be... Isaiah 55. Verse 21. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Verse 23. Beautiful. But thou, O God, shall bring them down into the pit of destruction. Notice, bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half of their days. But I will trust in thee. Deceitful men shall not live out half of their days. Half of your days are taken away by lying. So as soon as you are into deceitfulness, you open yourself up to demons which can take away half of your days. Are you watching? You see, I'm just trying to show you how half of your days, demons that can take away half of your life are... shouted, Cinco 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 Christmas Shabarataba Saka Bususi Kabara. Yeah. Soft belly. Confirm. Life, yes. Take away. One with 12 years, one with 5 years, and one with 4 years. 12 plus 5 is 4 is how much? 12 plus 5 is what? 17 plus 4, 21 years. Taking away 21 years of your life. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half of their days, but I will trust in thee. Zechariah chapter 5. Are you still there? And verse 4. There is a curse, amen, in every falsehood. I will bring it forth, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall enter into the house of the thief and into the house of him that sweareth falsely by my name, and it shall remain in the midst of his house and shall consume it with the timber thereof and the stones thereof. Yes, amazing. This is the curse, verse 3, that goes forth over the face of the whole earth. For everyone's to change the version. For everyone that stealeth, every thief will be banished. And everyone who swears falsely will be banished. Everyone who is into lying, swearing falsely. So I tell you, I promise what I'm saying across my heart. This one is the truth. Everyone, he said, this is the curse to those who promise. They say, what I'm telling you is the truth. God knows. God knows. If, I wish I could take my heart out and show you. And the Bible says, everyone that swears falsely, he said, this is the curse. Look at it. This is the curse that is going out over the whole land. I want that. I promise. What I'm saying, this is the truth. I promise. There's nothing else. All our lives, it's all acting. It's drama. And the Bible says, there is a curse. Psalm 120. Are you still here? Or you want? You can leave if you want to.
Oh, we are here.
Hmm? In my distress, I cried unto the Lord. Psalm 120 is a psalm for liars. That's how Psalm 23 is for shepherd and sheep. Psalm 120 is for liars. In my distress, I cried unto the Lord and he heard me. I shouldn't preach from the Bible. Okay, I'll close my Bible because I think that people are not in favor of it. I feel as if I'm threatening some people. Verse 2. Deliver my soul. O Lord, from what? Lying lips and a deceitful tongue. What shall be given unto thee? Or what shall be done unto thee, thou false tongue? You see, I was talking about, because thou, Jeremiah 13, verse 25, I think, it said that you trusted in falsehood. Trusting in falsehood is a very dangerous thing. Now this one says, what shall be given unto thee? Yeah, thou that trusted in falsehood. You see, underline the last words, trusted in falsehood. You trust it. Like my mother said, lies have what? Short legs. They catch up. It seems that you've left it behind because when you are working with a person with short legs, you get the feeling that you've left him behind. You know, when two people walking, one has shorter, longer legs, there's always one that is left behind. But the one with short legs will catch up. Eventually, yes. It's just that he has short legs, so it looks like it's you've made a distance between yourself and the shorter person. But after some time, the person catches up. And all A1 beloveds and A1 husbands, make sure you walk slow enough so that your beloved can walk right by your side. Huh? Is it clear? Now, watch it. Are you still around? Are you people watching? I'm trying to say, defend yourself. Get rid of anything that is not real. Become like Paul who said, I thank God that with simplicity, which is not duplicity and clearness, I was clear. Yes. When you park your car and you move this way, everybody thinks you are going straight, but ha-ha, you are not going straight at all. You have another agenda. Rakataba unarata. Unarata. I'm soon going to have so many Spanish. You know, I got a video. I saw one of my church young men. He was preaching in Spanish so nicely. I couldn't believe my eyes. He was explaining and he was emphasizing. I said, oh, it's too nice. And I'm going to have over 100 of my young people speaking Spanish as though they were born in Spain. Yeah. going to be beautiful. I know it's happening. Amen. Yes. Amen. Colombia, here we come. Amen. Venezuela, here we come. Amen. Panama, here we come. Amen. Argentina, here we come. Amen. Uruguay, here we come. Amen. Paraguay, here we come. Amen. Now, and when they are there, I will learn more words apart from Unarata. What shall be given to thee? Or what shall be done unto thee, thou false tongue? What will be done to a false tongue? Huh? Notice the next verse. Sharp arrows. Sharp arrows and coals of juniper. So these are demonic things. Sharp arrows. Bible says we put out the fiery darts of the wicked, of the devil. Sharp arrows. So as soon as the false tongue is established, so this person is an established liar. They radio, soft belly four. Row six, number two. Hey, and you start going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. One, two. People are dodging in the studio, I tell you. In your house, which who is sitting on row six, number two? So, dear friends, do you want the devil's sharp arrows to get a soft belly? No. No way. Clear your life. The first step to being clear is difficult. But after that, you get used to it. I hear when we get to heaven, our thoughts are broadcast. And I think it's quite confusing. Because we are used to thinking secretly. And then you say the parts of your thoughts you want people to know. And the other parts you don't want them to know, you don't say. But I hear that in heaven, it broadcasts. So as I'm here, whatever Josie is thinking, it is broadcast over there. If Kent is thinking something about Yovela, it is broadcast. So if you are having lustful thoughts, it's broadcast. Exodus chapter 8. Exodus chapter 8. And Moses said, behold, I go out from thee. And I'm ending with this. I will entreat the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh. Okay? I'm agreeing to get rid of all the demons. Okay? And from his servants and from his people tomorrow. Verse 29, but let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully anymore in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. Pharaoh, no more deception. No more deception. There is a day where deception ends in your life. And Moses was giving Pharaoh a chance to stop lying to him about everything. Then the Lord said unto Moses, and the Lord did according to Moses, verse 32, and Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also, neither would he let the people go. And that was the end of him. That is when the distraction came. Because there is a time when you are spoken to and you are given opportunity. Don't tell lies anymore. Sometimes I've seen people lying to me. Sometimes I know something about them. I ask them, I know, and I'm just giving them a chance to tell the truth. They think I'm a fool and I don't. Of course, many times I'm a fool. God should have mercy on me. But sometimes you just look and say, I mean, look at you, lying through your teeth. And you don't know what I know. That's why you see, you should become like Paul, who said that I'm happy that clearness and lack of duplicity. Yeah, it's so funny. When you see somebody lying to you, you just even know. There are times I've spoken to people. I said, this person will lie. And I would just make a phone call and say, can you believe this person is lying? Can you believe? Deceivers. What shall be done for them? And God told Moses, Pharaoh, no more deception. Moses, Pharaoh thought he was fooling Pharaoh. After the flies, that will be the end. Now come and see what's going to happen. It is now that trouble started. Exodus chapter 9. Then the Lord said, let my people go. Now cattle and then hail. Are you get it? Dust, flies, lice, this, that. Everything, the whole country was destroyed. Just because of a deceiving politician at the head of affairs. Always lying to the pastor. Ladies and gentlemen, all I'm just saying to you is that once your soft belly is exposed with deceptions, you open yourself up. They see it. They see. They are watching. They can see. And the belt of truth is not there. And your soft, nice soft belly. I mean, everybody's stomach is maybe the softest part of you. Is that the softest part of you? I don't know what the softest part. Check after church. And that is the soft belly at the enemy. So defend yourself. Get rid of every form of falsehood. Some of you are married. The person you are married doesn't even know who you are. Yes. I watched a film once. The wife went out. When she went, she saw some people and she knew that those people were coming to kill her. So she rushed home. She had her daughter and her husband. And she told her, we have to go. We have to leave the house now. We have to leave the house now. Now. Hey, why? What is wrong? What are you? She was a beautiful wife, homely woman. She would buy bread. She would do this, she would do that. She was cooking, beautiful. And that was her daughter. That was her husband. Husband had no idea who she was. She was an assassin. Yes. And she had left that life as she came, posed as whatever, and got married. So now the people had identified and she was wanted. But it had been some years. Lies have short legs. They catch up. When the people came, about 8 to 12 men, they came. Before she could, they killed her husband and they killed her daughter. Then she also grew up and herself came like how she was really. You get what I'm saying? And she also killed all of them. She killed all the 12 people that came to the house. That was who she really was. She was an ass. So the news, they showed 12 dead, to either 8 or 12 dead people. They have killed all. And the husband and then the daughter. Then she went back to her original, what do you call it, to rearm herself that she's going back for revenge because they've killed her husband. The husband had no idea who she was. What shall be done for thee? Sharp arrows. Deception, it's not a good thing. No? It opens the door. So let's get rid of it as we are serving God. No one is perfect. No one is perfect. But let's get rid of it so that we are well defended, at least in the area of truth and self-deception, lies, falsehood, and the curses that come with all these things. So that God's blessing can be on us. And we are well defended in our softest soft belly. In Jesus' name. Stand to your feet. I don't care if you don't like my message. Stand up. Beautiful. No demonic work will succeed against you from today. In Jesus' name. Father, thank you for the deliverance from evil today. Lift your hands and demons are flying out of you right now. Demonic works of shame, of instability, of confusion, of death are leaving you now in the name of Jesus. From head to toe, you are delivered from the works of the devil. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rambo katas baranda lada. Paligo, Talada, Midele, Mojende, Maranale, Mandara, Mandadali Bekete. Handere Bele Duburi Dalabande Bele Delembede de Veshendele Mamandara. Karambale, Karabilo Deliba, Baladi Bele Bodere, Shabara Dale Mandele. Manala. We close up the gaps. We close up the open hedges. Adrakasa. Malandola Makatada. Amanandere Kebala. We close up. We close up. We close up. We close up. Mandali Bo Katabalandare Mamandalaba. Ambaramado Shandele Mandele Mamandala Mamandala. In the mighty name of Jesus. 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 Andamadola Mamada. Amanda Lumadele Menedele. Namberele Menedele Menedele. Narimbo Dalene Menede. Halombele Menedele. Terembore Namelade Menede. Parandele Morele Bekebala. Palondele Bekitabele Romole. Malandele Makatabalandaria. Thank you, Father, for saving us and blessing us. In Jesus' name, amen. As every head is bowed and every eye closed, if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, I want to pray with you right now. I want to be born again. I want to say, Jesus, come into my life and change me. If you are here like that, just pray this prayer wherever you are watching from. Pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. Have mercy on me. I'm sorry for all my sins, my lies, my deceptions. Please cleanse me. Forgive me. Make me a new person. From today, I receive you, Jesus, as my Savior and my Lord. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. God bless you for praying this prayer. If you gave your life to Jesus and prayed this prayer, I want you to look on the screen and there you'll see a number. Our television is not working today, I hear, but it will be working soon. Not our fault, some other fault somewhere in the sky. If you gave your life to Jesus, please WhatsApp us, text us on this number. We're going to get back to you beautifully. God bless you. Now we are going to have communion. Amen. And I want you to be blessed in this communion time. God is going to bless you mightily. Take your communion. Take your communion. Bread.
Drink. This is
just call your neighbor. Say it's time for Holy Communion. It's time for healing. It's time for the blessing.
Whoever
the cup of blessing.
Drinks my blood as eternal life. For my flesh is meat indeed. My blood is drink indeed. The cup of blessing which we bless. It's the communion of the blood. Of Christ, the bread which we break, it's the communion of the body of Christ.
Hallelujah. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16, it says, I speak as to wise men, judge what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? And the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body? In other words, is it not the interaction with the body of Jesus Christ? So as you merge with the body of Jesus, whatever cannot be located in the body of Jesus Christ cannot be located in you. Now, do you know why I read this verse today? Because you see, as I preach about lies and deception and falsehood, I see many curses all over the place, and we need the cup of blessing. And that's why we are taking the cup of blessing, because I believe that blessing
overrides every curse that is working in our lives. Because lying and deception, it really brings curses. It's the soft belly and the first target of the enemy. It's the first part of the armor. And that is the part that most Christians are joking with. They feel that I can just lie to this, I can say this, I can just move on. Nobody knows. He's a fool, whatever. But those that trust in lies shall not live out half of their days. Father, we thank you for the body. As we take this bread, we commune and join with the body of Jesus Christ. Let our sick bodies be merged with the body of Jesus Christ, the healthy, well, and blessed body of Jesus Christ. And now let us have the body of Jesus Christ and be totally cured of every pain, every sickness, and every disease. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the body of Jesus Christ. We receive it now and we receive your healing. Healing from the pandemic, healing from the virus, healing from the threats, healing from the curse, healing from every threatening thing in our lives. Thank you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, the body of Jesus Christ. And now the cup of blessing. Take the wine or whatever drink you have, even if it's water. We declare this to be a cup of blessing. May the blessing shower over your life as you receive this holy communion. The cup of blessing. Lift your hands. Father, thanks a million for all that you have done. Bless the mighty cup of blessing with your true blessings. Let us all receive great blessings. May you escape the arrows of the wicked. May all curses that are active in your life be neutralized and tempered downwards by the blood of Jesus, which is the cup of blessing. May your sins be forgiven and remitted, and your mistakes overlooked, and your sins forgotten because of this precious blood. May you recover from your hurts. May you recover from your mistakes. May you recover from your deceptions. And may you recover from every door that you have opened to a demon. And whatever represents the devil in your life, I banish him from your house right now. I banish that personality from your existence, from your soul, from your life. Be gone. Be gone. Be gone. Be gone. Be gone. Be gone. In the name of Jesus Christ. By the blood of the Lamb that has entered your body, you are free from every demonic presence, entity, and every demonic power. In the name of Jesus, be free from every witchcraft and occultic power and presence, every spell and enchantment, and any linkage with you to the enemy and the dark world is severed now in Jesus' name. You are delivered from occultism, from witchcraft powers, and from all forms of magic and spells and enchantments. In Jesus' name I pray. Let Jehovah's blessing overshadow you, and the wings of angels overshadow thee. And as Jesus said, could I not have asked my Father for 12 legions of angels,
So I pray that legions of angels be sent into your life. Darando sapalimo katala manamarada. Legions of angels, go forth now into the lives of the people. Legions of angels, legions of angels, legions of angels, go into the lives of the people, the families, the homes, the dwelling places. Keep them from evil, from wickedness, daramaka, from sickness, from armed robbery, from attacks, from strange diseases, from wicked diagnosis, from unreasonable men, from evil personalities and evil decisions. In Jesus' name, whatever seeks to shame you is cursed today. Every eye that looks upon you to bring evil upon you goes blind right now. We declare blindness on every wicked focus that comes upon your life and your ministry. In the name of Jesus Christ, be helped by Jehovah. Be lifted to the next level. I see you on the next step, on your way to your destiny. Become a city set on a hill, a good example, Adah instead of a bad example. The Father Basha, let a light shine out of your life and become a good example, Adara Makasadala, a good example, Chanakato Labada, a good example of good things. Rama Topa Tama Kabalibo Tahamandala Mamandala Bada. By the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and adds no sorrow to it, may you enjoy and encounter the goodness of the Lord as He blesses you in this cup of mighty blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, whatever represents a clay, a miry clay, into which you are being sucked, I speak to the clay and I say, harden up now. Harden up now. You cannot suck up the servant of the Lord. Latamakora makata. Divine extractions take place. You are extracted from that which sucks you out, down. In Jesus' name, you are extracted. Receive divine extractions and divine escapes from all miry clays. Now receive the watering of the Lord. Be washed of the clay, and may He place your feet upon a rock to stay. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.